Everybody, we're going to do a very short piece on Nidarim and Nidavot, but we're going to see that the idea of Nidarim and Nidavot have a strong Musar element that's relevant to each of us. Okay, so we're in Ki Teitzei, correct? We're in Ki Teitzei, Perek Kaf Gimel, just have to find my place, towards the end. Yes, Pasuk Kaf Bet, Kaf Gimel, Pasuk Kaf Bet. Yeah, I make the coffee. I hope you people drink.
It's gone.
Yeah,
it's gone.
Yeah, sorry. I didn't make that
no,
much
I
coffee.
No, I have. I got.
Yeah, you got. Okay, you got your coffee. Okay, we're going to talk about the idea of Nidarim and Nidavot. So first we'll read the Pshat, and then we're going to see this has implications and also applications in other areas of Tanakh as well. And the area of Nidarim and Nidavot, we don't take Nidarim, but it has relevance to us in the commitments that we make. Especially the commitments that we make before Rosh Hashanah. And then I'll share with you just a nice idea I saw from a student who wrote as well. But there is this idea that when we enter the Yamim Narayim, we say, well, what am I going to take on this year? Okay, does anybody remember what they took on last year? Those blank stares that I'm getting are not very good.
Yeah, I'm just taking the same thing every year and then I have to do it again.
Me too.
Right.
I took on, I've not taken anything off.
You're dead. That's a good one. I like that.
Successful.
No, yeah, it worked. You're right. So it's a challenge. And the one everybody's familiar with this idea of like taking on greater whatever. But is that a good idea or a bad idea? Is it a good
is
thing
it
or a bad thing?
Because I always thought of journey from like Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur.
No. We're talking about two different things. In the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, there's a notion of being more medakdek, more meticulous. If you're not careful about glut meat during the rest of the year, at least during this time of the year, it's like there is an issue of being more mehader. If you don't daven every day mincha during the rest of the year, it's a good idea to say. And that doesn't mean that you're a bad person if you don't daven mincha, you know what I'm saying, because you're relying on a different opinion. You're saying, but you decide that you want to do it during Aseret Yemei Teshuva, it's not hypocritical. I'm not hypocritical at all. I always likened it to the idea that I remember when I was a kid. Once a year, the school would tell us that the Federation representatives are coming, the people that gave us all the money. So they made us clean the place from top to bottom, like our lockers. Like the place was a dump, and there was always garbage lying around, and it wasn't the best thing anyway, but they made us clean. And I was like, it's so hypocritical, it's terrible. How could you do this? They should see us like we really are. And they would yell at us, and we would clean up. And then, a week later, it'd be back to normal. But you understand and you appreciate that there's an... What?
Clinton came to visit the day before Yerushalayim, and they were cleaning the street lights. And they were in the old city, and they had big pipes, and they were washing the whole old city. It was wonderful.
It was wonderful, right? It's gorgeous. Exactly. So the same idea. Aseret Yemei Teshuva, this is the time that we're closed, that the Sha'arei Tefillah are open. There's a kirva, Kadosh Baruch Hu is closer. So it's when the Kadosh Baruch Hu is closer, when the Melech is closer, you wash the streets. Okay, so that, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about there's a practice, a custom of saying to yourself, like, okay, this year I'm going to take on a new mitzvah. They're always like moving forward or always like striving for something greater. And so on the one hand, that's something very laudable. On the other hand, we're going to see it's only laudable if you do it. Right? And if you don't do it, yeah, if you don't do it, then what? Then it's better that you had not said anything at all. Mm-hmm. Okay, as we'll soon see. Says the Torah. Perek Kaf Gimel Pasuk Kaf Bet. Ki tidor neder l'Hashem Elokecha, lo te'acher l'shalmo. Ki darosh yidreshenu Hashem Elokecha me'imach, v'haya b'chache. Let's read it and we'll translate again. Okay, when you take a neder, tidor neder l'Hashem Elokecha, when you take a neder, an oath to the Lord your God. So officially, halachically, this is talking about literally a neder, right? There's a category, there's an entire mesechta, there are huge, huge swaths of halacha that relate to the laws of nidarim, okay? And there was language that was accepted language of nidarim, hare alai, a person would say, I promise to, or, there was a konam, or this is like a neder. So there was a commitment, and in general, a neder was, in this context, in this specific context, a neder is to bring a korban. Right, the way specifically that people had a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam was less Bein Adam L'Makom, I keep this mitzvah, I keep that mitzvah. I want to give back to God. I promise I'll bring a korban shlamim, a korban nedava. Okay, I promise to give a korban. So says God, no problem. If you take a neder, by the way, it's very fascinating. What are the halachic implications when a person says, I take a neder? What are the implications? The implications are that he must keep that neder. Now you could very much think, you could theoretically think, a person makes a verbal commitment. What are the legal implications of a verbal commitment? Let's say, for example, I say to Daniela, Daniela, we're such good friends, I promise I'm going to give you 100,000 shekel. What? She's not getting excited. Why is she not excited?
She doesn't have any proof that you said it.
She has proof that I said it. I said it in front of a whole community. They all get together and said, yeah, he said it. Okay, so Daniela takes me to court. What does the court say? It doesn't mean anything. Right, no commitment. Right. If I promise in a legally binding manner, then that's significant. Here, what did a person do? He said it.
Is that true in a Beis Din also?
What do you mean?
I'm saying like a religious, if it's not written, is it true for in a religious court?
So that's very interesting. There's two realms. Let's say I really said it. I really said it. Like Daniela.
Right.
Oh, forget Sibur. Daniela, or where's Shira? Shira's not here today, but she represents, you know, this beautiful organization. And then I say, Shira, we've met for like 8 years, and you've been coming to me every week trying to get money out of me. I'm finally ready. I'm going to make the commitment. You've got $1 million. And Shira is all excited, et cetera, et cetera. What's my level of commitment? Can Shira then come on behalf of Ale and like sue me for the $1 million that I promised to give her? No, she cannot. What about Mina Shamayim? Does she have a claim in the Beit Din Shel Mala? Does my verbal commitment commit me, at least spiritually, to fulfill that which I'm going to say?
Yeah.
What do you say?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
It's not an editor. I said I would do it.
Yeah, I would say you're committed unless you have a specific, something unforeseen comes up that you couldn't envisage that would stop you from paying it.
Well, I got a million of those. You know, the stock market went down 3% yesterday. If I had known it was going to go down 3%, I never would have made that commitment. Oh, we're going there. Excellent. We're about to get there. That's yeah, absolutely. I even have the Chumash Brei sheet right here. We are going to get there. Okay? So he took a neder. He took an oath on a mizbeach that he built on Har HaBayit in front of God.
There are other examples. There's Yiftach, his daughter.
Well, Yiftach, right.
And there's also with Chana?
Chana took a neder? No, she didn't take an oath. Well, Yiftach is...
After 2 years, she was going to give him to the Beit HaMikdash, and then she said, no, only 50 years, and then he lived to 52.
Shmuel?
Yeah, it's Shmuel.
Chana's Shmuel.
No,
but Chana did give it.
Chana gave
Shmuel
family.
But she said she would. And
oh, did she promise? She took an oath that she was going to give her son to God? When he was born? I don't know.
Yeah. That's what I thought. She promised.
But she did.
Look.
It's been many years.
It's been many years. We're going to get to the Yaakov Avinu, because Chazal bring up Yaakov Avinu in a very, very strong way, very, very frightening way. But there is an idea. So there's an idea between legally binding in court and Bidei Shemayim. Right? There's an idea of if someone says he's going to do something, there's something called a Mishapara. If you ever heard that term, you know, they give him a Mishapara. What's a Mishapara? Mishapara is the opposite of a Mishaberach. Mishaberach is, Mishaberach Avoteinu, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, that God, you know, God gave this blessing to Avraham, Yaakov, who yivarech et, you know, blah, 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 blah. Okay, we give him Mishabera. Mishapara is the opposite. Mishapara from God who paid back, Esav and Lavan and all these terrible people. He should pay back Yerul Beryl, who promised to give a donation to the shul and never made good on his commitment. There's such a thing as a Mishapara. Okay, so that there's an idea of you create a sort of spiritual commitment. Not every spiritual commitment is enforceable in court.
Selling real estate in Israel. So people in the rest of the world, when you want to buy something, you have to say it in writing, to put down the offer in writing.
Right.
In Israel, people say you rely on your word. That's the way real estate.
So interesting.
So people, and people will make an offer, and it's assumed. assume that the offer is good, and 85% of the time, people always often have been in situations and people have said, I've said what I've said, and my word is my word.
So I have to tell a story.
And they've gone with it. But then again, there is that 15% that the word is real.
And then what? But is it? It's actionable if you can prove that he admitted. What if you can prove?
Real estate law, if you write something down on a serviette.
Yeah.
Even a dirty
serviette for Americans, that's a napkin.
Right. a stained, broken, that's still a legal document. Anything that's written down is
anything's legal. Yeah. So
anything verbal is not legal.
I have to tell you a story. I'm going to tell you a story, not about me. When we bid for this house, so it was after a period of, you know, real estate doldrums, what have you. Anybody wants to, you can look and see how much we paid, because it's a matter of public record. I'm not going to say. So we bid for the house, so we were in the period of negotiations. We wanted it, the guy wanted to sell it, he was under pressure, whatever. So we agreed on the price that we agreed upon. And it was for the house, it was a good deal. Right? And we'll tell you, I got a good deal. Then, a week later, he's talking to me and he says, when you made that offer, were you serious about the offer? Were you firm about the offer? And I said, absolutely. Why? He said, because he realized, he told some people, friends of his, he's not a real estate person, he's just a regular guy, how much he agreed to the house. And the guy said, you sold the house for that? I'll give you 200,000 shekel more today for that house. And he said, I want to know if you were serious or not. I said, yes, I'm serious. And he said, listen. He said, he called me back and he said, I spoke to my father. And he said, it's more important to me, my word, and being a person of truth and honesty than any amount of money. And what I said to, I'm going to agree to, and he did.
Wow.
You know.
So, but
he is a Yirei Shamayim.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? There are people in this world that are Yirei Shamayim in Shul, and then there are people in this world that are Yirei Shamayim in the real world. And those are not always the same people. You know, the people that chuckle very hard are not always the people that when push comes to shove, they make the really hard choice to say, I said something, I'm going to keep to it. Or, you know, making real sacrifices in order to do the right thing. And I like, you know, you, if you really want to look and see who it is, he wouldn't want you to know me talking about him this way. Because it's not, he didn't do it for any reason other than that. That, you know, when I get up in the morning, am I a person who's a person of emet or not? When I make a way, when I say something. It's a laudable thing. Can I say that I would have done the same thing? I'd like to think that I would have done the same thing, but am I sure that I would have done the same thing? I don't know. You know?
No,
that's a lot of money.
You do see push comes to shove.
You see it sometimes. You see some people who say,
I say my word is my word, and it doesn't matter. I've seen that quite a few times.
Yeah.
And then, of course,
you see it the other way.
But there is a concept in the culture here that your word is your word.
Yeah. Okay, good. But that might be because of this ethic that we're learning about today. Right? It's not we're not a legalistic society necessarily, but there's this idea of, you know, bidei shamayim also. That it's not just between me and you and it's enforceable. That it's between me, you, and God. Okay, so that's, you find it?
Not yet,
working on it. Okay. Lo te'acher l'shalmo. So in this context of the psukim, it's talking about a person who made a neder to give a korban, to give a sacrifice. So do not delay. The halacha gives you, this is a halachic term, the halacha gives you, when you make a neder, three regalim. You have actually a three regalim cycle. So if I'm in Kislev, yeah.
That's probably why they say that if you're in Israel for three regalim, that is counted maybe as breaking your neder, keeping 2 days of Yantav and Pool.
Could be similar, could be related. But this idea of three regalim, if I'm a Kislev and I make a neder, so I have to go Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, I have three regalim to get to the Beit HaMikdash and offer my korban. And if I didn't, then it's Baal Te'acher. Then I violate the Isur of Baal Te'acher. Why? Lo Te'acher L'shalmo. So you could have just left it there. So but I just want to say, I want to just harken back and say that what's fascinating is that the Torah is giving your verbal commitment halachic status, significant halachic status. And that's something we talk about in Nedarim in general. A person takes an oath, right? I promise not to eat, you know, mango smoothies, you know? Very good. There's a difference between, like, you make that commitment, so you don't want to eat mango smoothies, then, you know, why? Because you're getting fat. So it's one thing to say, oh, I'm not going to eat mango smoothies because I'm getting too fat. But the next time somebody offers you one or puts a potato chips in front of you, it's very easy. But somehow, if the mango smoothie had a tiny bit of I don't know, pork
food
in it.
Coloring.
Yeah, food coloring that was based on some enzyme that came from a bug, right? All of a sudden they put the fruit smoothie in front of you. It's just not relevant. It's out of your purview. It's like we have these like areas in our minds, like if it's like kosher and non-kosher. That was one of the big differences between supermarkets in America to me and supermarkets in Israel. Like when you go to supermarkets in Chutz La'aretz, like you just don't see half the store.
When the kids are little and they ask for things, there's something in your tone when you say it's not kosher to not now. Like the kids always had different reactions. To
right, not now means bother me about this until I give in. Right, it's not kosher means it's not negotiable.
Right.
Right. I always realized, like, I was somehow, I don't know, like, you know, like, if you're like a computer and, like, you're scanning, like, you just don't even scan the stuff that's not kosher. Like, the meat is not, you don't even see it. Like, why would I even bother looking at the deli aisle? But you come here, and it's like, it was, like, shocking to me, because all of a sudden I'm in the grocery store, and the cheese counter is it's open. you know what I'm saying? To me, that was a big deal. So it's the same thing. When you take a neder, all of a sudden, it halachically has a status that smoothie is no longer relevant to you. We're able to put it in a different context, in a spiritual context, whereas before, I'm fighting my yetzer hara all the time. Okay, but we're going to see it puts it in a different kind of yetzer hara. Yeah, say it.
I don't agree with you, because one, when you're looking at the smoothie, and you choose to say, I'm not going to eat it, you're constantly fighting with yourself. When somebody else says, or the Torah says, you can't do this, it's different.
So what if you took a neder?
Again, it's still the neder. It's still, even if I'm saying a neder, it's self-imposed versus externally imposed. I can have an ice cream sundae whenever I want, except after eating meat.
That's externally imposed.
It's externally, so it's fine. After meat, I don't have that desire.
No, but when
I say I'm not eating,
I think you said it beautifully. What you do when you take a neder is you take something self-imposed and then you turn it into something external. Now it's no longer me.
If you go through the practice of giving.
No, you have me a real neder. The person takes a neder. You could do this. I take a neder that I'm not going to eat fruit smoothies for a month. Okay? You may not take fruit smoothies for a month. And if you do, you violate an Easter of, violating a neder, and you have to bring a korban and what all the other things you have to do.
I'm saying maybe because we don't have the korban, we don't look.
So then, but I'm saying if you would take such a neder, knowing you took such a neder, it's treif to you.
Really?
It is treif.
Yeah. Something that's not asur to anyone.
It's asur to you. This is a better trick. I can make something. I can make you asur to eat my fruit smoothies. So let's say you come over all the time. Every time I make brownies, somehow you're at my neighbor's at the door. Oh, you made brownies.
It's a secret ingredient.
What? So I can take a neder and say, Hare ata nudar, you can't have my brownies. And it's asur. Like the mission talks about.
You can make a neder on him?
I can impose an iser of my house. I can say, you are nudar from Hana from me. And then you can't come into my house. Oh, it's not the most neighborly thing to do. How do you do that? They're like, I'm not going to tell you. Hold on.
No, but it's there, yeah.
Hare alecha, right?
Not on someone else. What is the language that they call? Someone says the words, these words.
Oh, there's many. The Mishnah talks about a zillion of them. Konem alai, konem koram. It seems clear from the time of the Mishnah that this was very, very common. That people would just take nidarim all the time.
No,
because
otherwise. But is there a specific nusach, or just if you say it, then it's accepted?
And also, what are the consequences of not doing it? When, again, we don't have a karban to do today.
So you violated an issue directly. If you.
And again, no, practically speaking.
Well, what's the consequence of not eating karban but eating treif? What's the consequence?
I have such a hard time with this.
Nidareem,
again, once written down, you don't do this. Versus, I'm saying, I'm taking this.
The language actually.
I think it's the ultimate like human innovation partnership in halacha. It's the ultimate because
it's very powerful. It's, when you think about it, it's very powerful.
But I'm saying it takes it's mamash lo b'shamayim, that it takes the Torah that from Shamayim and puts it in your hands, that you have the ability.
This is the first mission of Darim. Kol kinuyei nidareem kinidareem. All it wasn't just I had to say. Hareini no dare, I'm taking a neder never to drink coffee the next month. Any kinui, they had all kinds of phrases that were like nidarim. Okay? If he says, minude ani mincha, kinidre haomer konam, if you say konam alayacha, konam was a word for neder. Konam, konach, konas, cherek, cherek, cherek. They had all this slang for nedarim, for cherem. Right? Cherem alai. Get out of my house. I can't stand your guts. You're a cherem to me. Like, then you, like.
So is it binding only to that list, or would you think that it would be extended to more modern day slang?
It would be extended to modern day slang, as long as it was clear to everyone that you were taking a neder. Nowadays, we're so careful that we say, even if I say b'li neder, it's in order to, like, we don't touch nedarim. We don't even touch this stuff.
In practical common nowadays terms, if a rav of a kahila makes a neder for the kahila, that's allowed. For instance,
no, he can't force you to do something. No,
what?
He can't force you to
smartphones?
Do something.
Oh.
Rav of Kehillah made a neder that we won't have any smartphones? Not our
rav.
There's
this whole thing going around in the newspaper that apparently Rav Kanievsky told a girl not to marry a guy because he has a non-kosher smartphone.
Okay, so...
So the question is, if he puts it on...
Wait, what if he has a kosher smartphone and a non-kosher smartphone?
And the fact that he has a non-kosher smartphone... I'm saying, like, this has been in the news in the last 2 days.
Which news? I must have missed this one. What news do you read?
Israel National News, Maariv.
Really?
I saw that he said if you have a smartphone, you can't come into my house.
He also has that.
That
but
I
apparently
saw.
If the girl is engaged,
with you.
Yeah,
oh,
he has a big
okay.
smartphone.
Don't bring it into my house.
Apparently, like he said, for the people in his community, you're not allowed a smartphone. She's engaged to a guy who has a non-kosher smartphone, and he said that.
Ever or now?
He said that was grounds for breaking off the marriage.
Ever or now?
Engagement. Breaking up
engagement.
Isn't that a nether? No, that's not a nether. That's not a nether. He said that's criteria, meaning if that's criteria that's relevant information for a person to know. And he has every right to establish that criteria. Smartphones are terrible things. We're addicted to them. We all the time. Even if you never use
not
it for anything.
Marry someone.
Even if
for
you
it?
Never use it for anything. Yeah, it tells something. It says something great about you.
There are lots of things we don't marry people for.
It says a lot about you. That's a tremendous
you live
amount
in a
about you.
That nobody has smartphones.
Well, they all have. That's a joke. But okay, you know what I'm saying?
Because they have kosher smartphones.
Yeah, they all have non-kosher smartphones.
No, they all have.
I don't. I see them.
You're talking about a fascinating phenomenon of a community trying terribly to cling with its fingernails to an ideal of isolation that they just can't in the world. It's impossible. That's another issue entirely. He didn't make a neder. He made a rule. He's trying to impose the rabbinic hegemony is trying to impose its will upon the Haredi community for reasons that are entirely understandable but entirely futile.
So if he used the wording of a neder...
He can't. You can't take a neder for somebody else. No. He can take a neder on him. I can say something that mine is mudar. This is my property, my coffee, my house. What? He can't. You can't. I can't take a neder for you. Only you can take a neder for you. But what's interesting is we're saying, like Rina said, I totally agree. It's this idea of transforming something into the realm of the spiritual. Okay? And that's the idea of I take a neder to bring a korban. I take an oath to bring a korban. Says God, you took an oath? Great. You better keep it. Lo te'acher l'shamo, because if you are ma'acher, if you wait those 3 chagim and you don't bring it, kidarosh yidrashenu Hashem Elohecha me'imach. This is a very serious language. Darosh yidrashenu, God will... Darosh? Lidrosh.
Yeah.
Lidrosh means to seek out, but not just... He will get it back from you. God will, like, that's...
He will get his.
He will get his. And you will have a sin. Okay? Look at Rashi. Lo ta'achel l'shamo, sh'l'shar v'gamim. V'lamdu rabotein amin v'ikra. Seth alacha, t'li v'galim. Ki darosh yidrashenu, he will certainly seek out. We'll continue. V'chi techdal lindor. Techdal means if you refrain from taking a neder, lo yeh b'chachet. You will not have a sin. Chavdalin, last pasuk in the section. Motza svatecha tishmor ve'asita. Motza svatecha, that which emanates from your lips, tishmor ve'asita. You should guard and you should do. Kasher nadarta l'Hashem Elokecha nedava, just as you took a neder, took an oath to the Lord your God, and nedava, a gift, asher dibarta b'picha, that which we said with your mouth. Everybody understand that last phrase? Let's read it again, because you're all expressing it a little bit. Okay? Chavdalet. Motza svatecha tishmor v'asita. That which emanates from your lips, you should guard and you shall do. Kasher nadarta l'Hashem Elokecha nedava, as you took a neder to the Lord your God to give a gift, Asher dibarta b'ficha.
Syntactically, it makes no sense.
Right. That's that phrase is difficult.
Yeah.
What? Asher dibarta, as you. So what does it mean? You know? Help me out here.
You can't think it. You have to verbalize it.
Look, Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra, he says, if you have Ibn Ezra, Asher dibarta b'ficha.
One minute.
Explain the problem in the pasuk.
Okay, 1 minute. What if you read it like this? Okay, that which comes out of your lips, keep and do when you make a neder to Hashem to give a gift that you say. That you verbally made this neder.
Would you have said it that way? You're having trouble.
It's not
everybody
the
said
most
the problem
parsimonious way of saying it.
Right. Ibn Ezra says, Asher dibarta b'ficha. He says, achar sheyatza hadibur, after you said what you said, lo duchal lahashiva. You can't take back what you said.
So he's reading a halacha into the psukim.
Yeah.
He's taking a halacha and reading it into the pasuk.
Okay. It's just very interesting. Rashi says, "Motzas v'techa tishmor v'asita." All these psukim are very repetitive. Rashi says, "Litain asay al lo taasay." Motzas v'techa tishmor. What's shimor? What's shamor?
Not just don't break it, but it's do it.
Tishmor to guard. What is usually when we say guard? Shamor is lo taasay in Shabbat. Shamor v'zachor. I didn't hear. It's fine. You can't concentrate. I got you. It's fine. Shamor is no lo taasay v'asita. Ta'aseh, what should you do?
Keep that neder.
So it's interesting. It's a double isur, a double admonishment. You made a neder. One, you're forbidden from violating your neder. Two, you're enjoined to keep your neder. You made a commitment. You have to both keep your word and not keep your word. Mm-hmm. Which is a double whammy. Okay. What do we do with this last pasuk? Anybody know?
It's also, if you said it, like if you think it, It's not a neder.
If you think it?
If you say it to yourself, you don't actually say it.
Verbalize it.
It's only a neder if you actually verbalize it.
It's so interesting that you
I
say
understand.
That.
Yeah.
But it says it twice. Motza svatecha tishmor ba'asita. Svatecha. That which comes through your lips. By the way, isn't that an interesting way of saying it?
Motza svatecha.
When we talk about... Like... Lishoncha, picha, motza svatecha, the svatayim. What's the job of the svatayim, of the lips?
To guard, to close.
Right, like, if you couldn't keep, if the lips couldn't do what they were supposed to do, it seems very, very, like, very descriptive in that way. Like, the job, the tongue is trying to get out the whole time, he's trying to say things, and your lips are there to, like, shut them up. Like, but somehow... Didn't work this time, so then tishmor ba'asita. Asher dibarta b'picha. It seems a repetition, that which you said with your mouth. So why would it say, asher dibarta b'picha, if it already talked about motzas svatecha? So it's very interesting. If you look at the Or HaChaim, it's interesting that you brought up the idea of thinking.
Could you say that motzas svatecha is a kind of escaped and asher dibarta b'picha intentionally? Meaning whether you meant to make the amender or not, if it came out.
Well, you can say anything you want. It sounds
right.
Yeah. I don't mean that in a negative way. Yeah, you could. It's a nice drash. Have I seen it? No. Right. That's what I said. You can say what you want.
You heard it here first.
There you go.
You can also combine the first part pasuk with the second part pasuk and leave the middle part separately.
Which one? What do you mean?
And then because anything that you neder to Hashem is a present Hashem, therefore you have to hold it sacred and keep it.
Well, the real question is, what is the words Asher dibarta b'picha adding? Look at the Or HaChaim. The Or HaChaim on Asher dibarta b'picha. Okay, this is a scary Or HaChaim. If you have it, it's worth seeing inside. Anyone who has it, but you guys don't have it. Sorry. Or HaChaim says, Yidba'er al derech omram ba'zohar. This will be explained based on what they said in the Zohar. B'pasuk. A little bird carries your voice. This is so true nowadays. Say something.
A little.
So true.
A little birdie.
It's so true. Do you think that's what they meant when they called it that?
Do you ever use the phrase a little bird told me?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. You say things like, if you say anything anytime, you said it always forever. It will always come back to haunt you, no matter what you said. Or did. It's totally true. Okay? It's hard to get kids to realize this, that everything they ever write is on the record forever. It's unfair, but it's a reality. Anyway, ki kishadam choshev bida'ato machshava. When a person thinks in his mind a thought, siftotav dovevot me'atzmam belo yidi'ato. His lips are moving without his realizing it. Thought is also a form of speech. V'hu omro asher dibarta b'picha. And this is the meaning of the phrase of asher dibarta b'picha. That which you said with your little mouth in your head and didn't actually say. Ki hagam shelo asa ela machshava, even if it was only a thought, picha diber ma shechashav. Your mouth said what you thought. And that's why it says b'ficha. She'im lo ken, lama husach lomar b'ficha. Because otherwise, what would it have to say b'ficha? V'chi einanu yodim shehadibur hu b'peh. Don't we know that words are with the mouth? So says Or HaChaim, he says, it's not only that which you say, it's also that which you think. That's a form of thought, of speech as well.
You can't help what you're thinking.
Can't you?
It seems totally... no,
scary!
No, it seems opposite of the pshat, though. It's
yes.
Saying, it really doesn't seem like that is the pshat.
Correct. Maybe. He said so.
And especially what we know, like in the opposite way, like let's say vidoy. You only, vidoy is only, takes...
Achei, shechatan lefanecha be... What's the first one in hey? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, but for the sinner, not saying it's good to think things that, but taking them to the level of speech is a whole different level when it comes to vidoy and when it comes to things.
Can I ask you?
Like this is completely
in the terms of neder, like so many times we have good intentions, we want to do the right thing, and we say I'm going to do that, and then for reasons. Sometimes we know, and reasons we don't know, we don't follow through on our good intentions. Right? So says the Zohar, why not? He's asking why not.
Because you get distracted by life.
Distracted by life, i.e., what does that mean?
No, no,
no.
You're not focused on it.
What?
You're not focused on it. It's not important to
your word. Yeah.
What? Yeah, well, I'm not going in that direction. It's more like that's your Yetzer Hara. Like he got to you even before you said it. Like he knows he's fighting you on all these different levels, and you have this. I have this great idea. I'm gonna do this. I really want to do it. Okay. But it never gets to the point of bitzua. Never gets to the point of speech. Right. So. What?
Ma'ase.
Right. Well, definitely not ma'ase.
Uh-huh.
Says so. The Or HaChaim is saying there's. Remember we talked about the idea of bidei shamayim. So it's not an all or nothing. We said if you wrote a contract and signed it with witnesses, then the court could take it out. Let's say you put it on a napkin. So most loans on a napkin don't hold. Real estate holds. Let's say you didn't put it on a napkin, you just said it. Okay? So that doesn't have real legal commitment, but we said bidei shamayim it does. Let's say you didn't say it, you just thought it. Is that nothing?
You're saying you're getting credit for the positive thoughts as well as getting...
No, I'm saying the level of positive thought, when you think to do something, there's a level of commitment in that too. And that you should keep your word, your inner word as well. That's what the Or HaChaim is saying.
The question is,
really?
You have that same time frame. You what? Said when you bring a carbine, you have the shalosh
word. I'll just finish what he said.
So
says.
I think
yeah.
Time frame from your thought, because sometimes a thought enters, you want to do it, it goes away, it comes back, and it evolves over time.
Sure, I would agree with that, but I'm not talking about that. A person says, I'm doing it, I'm going to do it, I'm going to give the money. Like, this happens to me in this area. Oh, there was a family, right, who in Beit Chilkia, whose house burned down. So when I heard about that, I said to myself, okay, I'm going to give them money. How many times have we thought that to myself and said, and then somehow it never got to writing the check. Some other expense came up, or I gave tzedakah to somebody else, and I said, whatever. No, I said to myself, I said, I'm going to give them money. So I'm only giving this example because I actually did give them the money, so I don't want to feel bad about that that one. But when you say that to yourself,
even by thought,
yeah,
that it has meaning.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
No. At your own thoughts.
Yes. Yes.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
On the wait, he says. Excuse me. The Or HaChaim is not on the halachic level. He's talking clearly on the Zohar level.
Yeah.
On the Machshava level. On the Kabbalah level. Right? Do you wait? You don't believe your thoughts have power, have impact?
Of course they do. Of course
they do.
They do. Especially understand.
What?
Especially understand. Well, think about first impressions. Right. You meet somebody, you have a first impression of them. Whether it's right or wrong.
We're going to get to the point where I can think about something and there's going to be a sensor in my head that's going to turn on the music for me. At some point, I'm going to do it.
How do you control your thoughts?
Well, they have that with your eyes.
Are you kidding? All of Judaism is about controlling your thoughts. Controlling your Yetzer, it's about, you know, about.
That's what I was going to say.
It's all about that, yes.
You're equating controlling your thoughts with controlling your Yetzer, which means there are several occasions on which the thought that's in your head is Yetzer. If I could say that, but it's not really what I
No, we're talking about if you, let's say this nether, you took a nether in your mind. You didn't take a nether, you said, I'm going to do something.
So it's not saying like, oh, I really should do
I'm not talking about, by the way, the thought of, oh, I really want to watch that TV show. That's
no,
not what I'm talking
about.
I'm talking about
I
a person
really,
making a commitment.
Right, but in your mind, it's, I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that perhaps other people at this table would agree with me, that in our very busy lives, sometimes thoughts go through our head like, oh, I really should help in that situation.
No, that's what I'm talking about.
So that's what I'm asking. Are you talking about like, I really should, or I'm going to do that?
Two. I should is like a hitlabtut. Yeah. That's good.
That
is up to this. I'm talking about the
you're
second
thinking,
thing. The second thing. Very often we commit to doing something. I'm going to join the Chesed committee. I'm going to be a part of this Kiddush. I'm going to do this. And then somehow between the I'm going to in here and the I'm going to in here, it just doesn't happen. It's a lot. That's a hard thing.
If you say it and you say it to someone, it brings it to a whole other level.
Yes.
Right.
Meaning, if you're really serious about it, then you'll say it. And you have like some kind of a, then you'll probably do it.
More likely to do it if
you
say it. So I think the innovation of the Or HaChaim and what's scary is
to make us take it more seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. That if you thought something, first of all, you don't you can control your thoughts. You don't have to think I'm gonna do it. You could think to yourself. We always think about this. Oh, I should think about that.
It's also not.
Right? I'm not talking about that. Hitlabtut and dilemmas and deliberation are perfectly legitimate. But I'm talking about. I think he's talking about. Very often we say in our mind, this is something I want to do. And then the Yetzer, like he knows right then and there, stop this right now.
Like
yeah. Right, stop this right now. Because it, like that's when like he knows the easiest time to stop you from doing it is before you say it. And then after you say it, he's going to, you know what I'm saying? Once you're doing it, then like he's in trouble.
The shiur is not for someone with ADD.
Why?
It says they're going to do this. It's not for someone with ADD.
ADD
it says
people.
They're going to do this, that, and then, you know, never complete things.
I don't think that's ADD. I don't think that's ADD. ADD is someone who's...
It seems to me like you're not talking about a fleeting thought. You're talking about something that you're processing and you're coming to, and it's there. It's kind of niggling at you the whole time, and you want to do it.
The thing that I was that I told you, the thing that this I relate to in this idea is when I say to myself, oh, I'm going to give that, I have to give that tzedakah.
Right.
Yeah. And then it's in the back of my head, and I'm like, I said I was going to do it. I said in my mind I was going to do it. Like, I accounted for it. This family, I did. The only reason I can give this example is because I did.
But even if you didn't, it's still the idea is there, and then you get an email saying that the Karen has been established. And then there's another way for you to do it. That's what I'm saying. Like, is it in a finite amount of time? Like, right when the thought happens, you have to do it.
Well,
just like you have that three.
No. I don't think you have to do it right then. But
right.
What he's saying is
the commitments you make to yourself to really.
Ah, that's the question.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You know.
Right. Right. That's a musar. But that's a scary musar, isn't it? It's like very interesting musar. Okay. That's a hard thing because sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. In general, I agree with you.
Uh-huh.
But you meaning,
but I was just saying,
yeah.
To me, the way I look at it is there's the first part of the sentence, which was like things that just flowed out of your mouth. And the second part is the things that you intended to say. And I think that
that's what you said.
That the divarta is intentional, and the first part is.
Yeah, but you have to keep both of them, correct?
Yeah, but that's why I think the double language
very much. It's a very Malbimi pshat. You know, the Malbimi pshat. The Malbim is very into like the very into the like the specific nuance of the language.
Super
the difference between right motzas svatecha and kasher dibarta. Interesting. Yeah, I don't disagree with you. Again, right? Yeah. It's definitely true. I wanted to bring the Zohar because not that I think it's pshat at all. It's not pshat. It's thought provoking and frightening. Okay. Two other parshanim, and then we'll see some midrashim, and we'll come up with Yaakov Avinu, and then we'll stop. Okay. Look at Kliyakar. Now before we go, we'll do the Ramban. Most of you have Ramban. Ramban. So after all this, is it a good thing to take a neder or not a good thing?
No, for
no.
It's a plague.
Why do people? why do people do it?
Because it's life altering.
Or let me take you. Yeah, let's say it in a different way. Why did God create this idea?
No, well, I think...
So say, people can say whatever they want. It's not binding. No such thing as nedarim. You know what? Stay away. Why establish an institution called nedarim if it's so bad?
Well, isn't the idea that people often would take a neder and they want something in return? Like if someone was ill, God forbid, then they'd say, I'll take a neder to do X, and then hopefully the person will recover.
What's the point?
That they can get their wish.
A motivator to God? Okay, but that's fine. But who says it's binding? So God says, you know, do what you want, don't do what you want. I love you too, but you don't have to. Like, I don't need you to do what you promised to do. Why? God says, no. Listen, I don't need you to swear to me. Like, I don't need the extra cow. But if you say it, you better keep to it. Why can't God say, you said it? I know you didn't really mean it. Or I don't care if you meant it or not. Why is it so important that it becomes the gedder of halacha? Ki darosh yidrashenu Hashem Elokecha me'imach. He's coming to get it.
It's character building. It transforms who you are. If you're prone to say, all these netters, and you don't follow through with it, it's destructive.
And if you do follow through?
You grow.
So should you take a netter or not?
Depends on the
nether. So that is the quandary. That is the conundrum. That's the conundrum of nidarim, right? Because on the one hand, if a person never takes any nidarim, never takes on additional things, you're fine, no problem, right? Ki techdal lindor lo yebchachet. That's a pasuk. If you don't take nidarim, you're not a sinful person. Is that really we want to come before God and say, God, give me a good year? Why? I'm not a sinful person.
What's the difference between
I'm not bad.
You could do
great. Terrific.
What's the difference between like a Kabbalah that you take on yourself?
I'm not interested in the halakhic framework.
No.
I'm not interested in that.
For yourself,
I'm interested
it has that same impact.
Correct.
It's a Kabbalah. You take it
without
a
neder.
So, correct.
Implication of
so then, but one second. Does it have halakhic implications or spiritual implications of a neder?
Yeah,
it does.
So, because it's a Kabbalah.
Correct. Meaning if you didn't keep it, then it has spiritual implications too. Correct. Should you take that? You're putting yourself this. You only get the benefit of the danger you put yourself in.
True.
You know what I'm saying? You can't play both sides and say, "Oh, I did take a neder, so you can't hold me to it." Well, then what did you do?
So it's kind of the same thing.
Correct. Correct. So is that a good thing or is it a bad thing?
It's an important thing.
Some people have for a nazir. For a nazir, it wasn't the same kind of overhead. It was like if somebody could take on to be a nazir, it was considered really huge undertaking and a very positive thing.
Right.
Well, it depends on who you ask, because there are many parshanim who say that if you take the neder altogether of being a nazir, it's a bad idea.
Correct. Correct.
That's rather why you bring a chatat in the end. Not the chatat that you bring is that you became a nazir altogether.
But, you know, it is a worldview kind of question, this idea of like asceticism or above and beyond. It's a very interesting question. I'll show you midrashim say no. Let's look at the Ramban.
But the whole idea of neder, you're only talking about being forbidding something that's really mutar.
No. Usually nidarim are to bring a korban, something extra, to add on.
A nezer is, okay.
The two types. One is negative and one is positive. So look at the Ramban for a second. Ramban says, lindor lo yebechachet. This is a good question. You want to be that person. You want to come to Rosh Hashanah and say, God, give me a good year because lo yebechachet. I'm not a sinful person. I'm not bad. Is that really the person you want to be? You look at me like, I could go with that.
No, I always talk about
father of the faith.
Yeah.
He always said that he was a tzaddik, that he didn't do anything bad, but he didn't do anything good either. He was just like
straight and narrow.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. So, and there's a way of saying that there's something to aim for also.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Says the Ramban. Bavur she makrivim ola uzvachim le'Elohim yesh lahem schar tov. Someone who offers additional sacrifices to God, they have schar tov, great reward. Ki inyan shekatuv, as it says, olot machim, I don't know what that is, elelecha im ktoret elim yaseh bakari matudim sela. Avo beitcha be'olot. Va'af b'korbanot ha'ba'im b'nedava katuv. And even the korbanot that you offer as a nedava, nedava is a lower level of promise. Meaning God likes additional korbanot. God does like when we add on. V'im ken, if so, harei ha-nedarim zeruz b'mitzvah. Nedarim have a positive element. They're a zeruz, they're an encouragement for mitzvah. They drive us forward. Right? You know, like the enemy of spiritual growth is habituation. We do what we do mostly not because we're spiritual and connected to God. We do what we do because we're used to doing it, right? If you're a person that comes to davening on time, you come to davening, it's important to habituate. But then that just becomes part of who you are. And if you come 20 minutes late or 5 minutes late, you're just the guy. That's just what you do. It's very hard to break. Right? So in order to drive yourself forward, driving yourself forward requires taking on something more, something new. And that's good. Ziruz b'mitzvah. So that's a good thing. Ukatuv, and it says, it's well familiar, Nidarai l'Hashem Hashalem, Negdana l'chol amo. Right? David HaMelech extols the idea that I took a neder. I will fulfill my nedarim. Levikach yomar hakatuv, therefore the verse says, Hishamer b'nidarecha. Be careful. Ki afapi shem zeruz b'korbanot Hashem, asher hem l'cha l'ratzon, even though they're zeruz, Im tidor tavoli yadi chet im lo tishalem o sheta acher. Yes, it's zeruz, it's encouragement, it's positive. But if you take the neder, then you better keep your neder, because if you don't keep it, then you violated something. And I think this is a perfect, it's a good rule for us to understand. Is it a good thing or a bad thing? Yes, everything that has benefit comes with a negative or comes with the potential for negative. You want to grow, you take risk. It's like you want to build your business. So you borrow $100,000, 100,000 shekel, in order to grow, to invest and to build your business. If you never borrowed, you'll never grow. But if you borrow and the business fails, now you could be in the hole. Right? You know, lahav deal, of course. But do you want to be that person who never took risks? Or do you want to be the person that is willing to take the risk, but the benefit is in your hands. It's your choice. And in the borrowing, the business is not always necessarily in your hands. But here we have something. Yes, you know, if you want to grow all growth, and I think that this is something for us to think about. You have to really spend some time thinking about this. Every opportunity for growth is an opportunity to fall back.
Is there room to fail within this?
Let me just finish one sentence, and we'll ask you to ask again. Because without the opportunity to fail, there is no opportunity to grow. Now you can understand what I'm saying.
Is there, within the structure, a place to fail? For example, if you say, I am going to daven mincha, this year I'm going to daven mincha, and you're davening, and then one or two days you didn't daven, and then you go, oh no, and you go back to it. Those days that you didn't, was that breaking the neder?
Yes and no. I mean, obviously, like, life is a constant struggle, like anything else.
But I'm saying within the context, if you take a neder to do that and you don't do that here or there, and then you realize, right, is it
I'm in general not in favor of taking the darim on eternal things. You know what I'm saying?
So you're saying
you have a chiyuv to daven. So if a person, like, I don't know.
So you should put a time frame in.
It's interesting. The reason I say that is because the nedarim in general, in context, are offering a korban. It's a one-shot deal.
Yeah.
You keep it and then you move on. And we're sort of mixing between, like, you know, pushing yourself to a greater spiritual level.
Mm-hmm.
And those are important, but I wouldn't say that in terms of a neder. Like, mm-hmm. you strive to do that, you know, to add something on or to...
You're saying neder should be something more
doable.
Doable.
Yes.
Time bound.
Right, or like, I'm going to learn Sefer Shmuel.
Mm.
Good, you could do that.
Measurable.
Right, and then it ends.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And then hopefully, how did you learn Sefer Shmuel? I hope you didn't chop 5 minutes here and there. You created a chavruta, and you learned Sefer Shmuel. And then, like, once I did Sefer Shmuel, and the chavrutas are going, you've already, like, you use it as a rocket booster, in a sense. That's what Nedarim are for. Nedarim are not there for, like, every day. There are plenty of mitzvot that we have to do every day.
Sorry?
What?
No, I had a question about, like, should you take a neder of something that's already a sur, but you're not managing to do it? But that, no, but that, like, the Shonara, which is something that so many people struggle with. Yeah.
So many people, like everybody in the whole world.
Right. Okay, except mute people. Right. They listen to a lot of noise.
So, you can say Lashon Hara with sign language too.
That's an eternal thing. That's something you shouldn't take a nidr on. That's something you should just strive to make it small little. Oh, I'm going to learn.
You can say, you can take, correct. You can take a nidr to learn Shmirat HaLashon every day between now and, you know. Between what? Oh, that's so laudable.
You're dreaming then.
What?
Like
yeah. I'm glad we as we brought this through. I think that distinction is good.
Yeah.
That commitments are good for between for the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, those are good. To give yourself a push, but it should be a commitment that leads to something as opposed to. Right, but I don't think you have to take a neder to do that. I don't know. I don't think that's a neder. I think neder is in terms of something that's doable or like a commitment. Forget the neder. Nobody should take a neder. But commitments are sort of something that's doable and concrete, and it's supposed to bring you to a different place. You know what I'm saying? You say, I'm going to commit to, I don't know, to in your own mind, even something very, very, very small to volunteer for your Arimi once a week or once a month or whatever. It brings you to a different place because once, the hard part of volunteering for your Arimi is, well, I don't know what the hours are and where I can help and I'm not familiar with it. If that drives you to out of your comfort zone, then all of a sudden your comfort zone is expanded to something that you didn't think that you could do. And that's very often the thing that's preventing us from doing it is the inertia. And that's what the neder is useful for. Yeah. Yeah, meaningless. Why? Because you... And then we say Kol Nidre.
Right.
Also meaning.
And I'm saying concepts that keep coming back as part of Shuvah. Kol Nidre, so
It's not meaningless. It's meaningful in the broader sense of be careful what you say because the Nedarim are serious. But in a legal sense, you know how we do have that right in Nedarim now? I remember we used to for the longest, so it used to be that I would stand in front of three people, and then the next guy would stand in front of three people, and the next guy would stand in front of people. It would take hours. Nah, we have progressed now. We are way more advanced. Okay? 50 people stand in front of three people, and then 50 other people stand in front of three other people, so it has no legal standing whatsoever. I have an idea. Online Atara Nedarim. You just say it into WhatsApp, and then we'll all answer. Hakol Mutalak, we'll send it back to you, and then you're Yotze.
Right.
That we have now. We're already done with that a long time ago.
Copy-paste.
What? Can you do Hatar Nedarim on a Facebook Live? We'll do Facebook Live Hatar Nedarim. What?
My husband does it for me. It's even
What? Hatar Nedarim? Right. No, it doesn't mean anything. I'm sorry. But it's the ideology of it. It's the thought of it. Why did Kol Nidre become so popular? There are some achronim that rail against it. It doesn't mean it doesn't have any halachic.
They even say it three times so the people who come late can hear it.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything.
But
sorry.
I don't know. I think it's something for people that aren't.
What's that?
In the time of the Spanish Inquisition.
Oh.
Even was very relevant.
Yeah, you get killed for it. And
no, but the idea is that right. Yeah, I don't know. Oh, I promise you, I got the Yaakov Avinu. So I'll end off. The Chazal were not in favor of Nedarim at all. Okay, you gotta go. Okay, I'm gonna wrap it up anyway. Says the Mishnah. Says the Midrash. Call Mishnah Oder Umishahel Shalem Nidro Koveret Ishto. If you take a neder and you don't fulfill your neder, you'll end up burying your wife. Why? Lo Aleinu. Right. Lo Aleinu. Why? What's the example exactly that you said? Because Yaakov Avinu stood up in front of God and said, Im Ye Elohim Imadi. If God is with me, Va'Even Azot Asher Samti Matzeva Ye Beit Elohim. Okay, it should be a Beit Elohim. I'll give you, I promise, I'll make a Beit Elohim, I'll keep to my word. And then when Yaakov comes back, God comes to him and says, Yaakov, hey, where you been? You promised, come back to fulfill your word. And what happens on the way back from Padam Aram? Like he stopped in Shechem, and the whole Dina thing happened. And what happens on the way back as they're on their way from there to Beit Elohim? What happens?
Rachel dies.
That's exactly what it says. V'schar shiru madarim, blah, blah. Umisha noder, umishahe nidro, gorim mita la'atzma. If you make a neder and you hold back on your neder, gorim mita la'atzma, it's even more scary. Amar, I'll read you another one. V'yikar rabba, amar abshuro ben nachman, kol misha noder umishahe nidro, sof uba lidei avodah zara, ulidei gilui arayo, ushvichu damim. If you make a neder and don't fulfill it, that will bring you to commit terrible sins. Why? Because it's this idea, Mary, you might want to take your phone. Why? It's this idea of, like, it's the opening, right? You would say, I want to take on more. And as soon as you take on more, since I took on more, I don't have to keep it. That's the opening for the Yetzer Hara to say, okay, really? What else don't you have to keep? You know, it's better that you had not done anything at all than to take on something and not keep it, right? Because we have enough to worry about. You want to take on more? Do it in a limited sense and use it an opportunity to propel you. Not something that's there. Okay, why? If you have kliyaka, we'll just finish with this. Lo ta'acher l'shamo. Don't hold back. Lefi sheyitzro shel adam tokfo b'davar hanador davka. The yetzer hara gets you specifically. He fights on the thing that you took a neder. V'chol zman shenidro alav, az yetzer hara mitgarer bo biyoter. As long as that neder's on you, the Yetzer Hara is like fighting you specifically. V'omrim lo, and he says to you, lo dayach masha asra alecha Torah. You're like, didn't you have enough? You took on more? It's not important. Lo dayach, it's not enough. L'harbo giru Yetzer Hara. So I think this ties very much into what we said, right? There's no reward without risk. When you take on something more, the Yetzer Hara says, really? Right? What is he going to say to you? Oh, you took a neder, I don't know, to daven bincha every day. So what's he going to say to you? You can't even stop yourself from saying Lashon Hara, and now you're going to say Mincha every day? Mm-hmm. It's really good. Mm-hmm. He's like an expert. Okay? He's you. Correct. Right. A couple of times, it's interesting that both the I don't see it now. Okay? Both the Ramban I saw, the Ramban and others, talk about this idea, I can't find it right now, okay? That there's this malach, there's this angel whose job it is to pay back people who take nidarim and don't keep them. Yeah, you don't want that net. They're like, yeah, stay away from that guy. stay away from that guy. Okay. I can't stop without sharing you the Barbina Bechaya. I know it's too fast. If we had all these, we had a good conversation. He says the following, Aderach HaKabbalah. And he says, the idea of Kabbalah, but this is a more machshava idea that's based on this. Mutzat tzfatecha keneged pi Hashem. Keep your words keneged pi Hashem. Bezeu hachiyuv hamutal ha'adam lekayem kol hayotzei mipiv. Afilu shelo b'shuva bichlal. He says explicit what we've been talking about. Of course, on the halachic level, on the technical level, we're talking about neder and nedava. Okay, that's one level. But God is also saying to you, when you make a commitment, keep your word. That you'd call your team, you can't get away from the pshat of the pasuk of, right? Motzas fatecha tishmor. Right? Keep that which you said you were going to do. Afilu shelo b'shvua, even without a shvua. He says the following. He says interesting. He says there are seven limbs on the face in the head, two ears, two eyes, seven nose, two lips, or tongue lips.
No.
One second. Shneos naim, two ears, two eyes, two nostrils, and the mouth. Vakadosh baruch hu bara bashvi'i. God chose as the most important one the seventh. Okay, barash shiva arikiim, seven levels of heaven. I don't know what that means. 7 days and Shabbat. V'chein bachar bapeh, he chose the mouth. L'halilo u'l'shabcho. It is the most important. So he says, therefore, it's the most significant, the most exalted. It is the Shabbat of the limbs of the head. So use it wisely. Treat it very carefully. We'll stop here.